This is Flores versus Las Vegas Clark. County Library District. It's Iglody.
Good morning, Justices. Before I start, may I reserve 10 minutes for rebuttal?
That's fine.
Thank you. May it please the Court, the question on appeal here is who determines firearms policy in the state of Nevada? The legislature has answered this question with resolute clarity. It is the legislature. Ms. Flores must prevail on this appeal because the legislature has decreed that firearms legislation and policy is an exclusive domain of the Nevada legislature, and any other rule, such as the one at issue here, is null and void. When the legislature passed Senate Bill 175, it amended various Nevada statutes. In its amendment of the statutes, the legislature made clear that going forward to provide for the uniform regulation of firearms and the protection of Nevada citizens' right to carry firearms pursuant to the Nevada Constitution, that the legislature would make its exclusive domain the regulation of firearms and all aspects thereof, including rulemaking, regulations, and such. The legislature further clarified that any other legislation, rule, regulation, policy of any kind that did not originate from the legislature due to specific enactment was to be determined as null and void. We're asking the court to find library districts, dangerous item policy, null and void.
Let me ask you this.
Yes. Looking at the language of the statute itself, you're saying then it's completely unambiguous.
That would be our position, Your Honor.
And in doing so, pronouncement that no county, city, or town may infringe upon a right is unambiguous.
In Section 2, correct, Your Honor?
Correct. And wouldn't it have been easy to say any entity, the districts, any subdivision of any town, city, or county?
The position that we take is that Section 1, which is the same in all three amended statutory provisions of the Nevada Revised Statutes, makes clear that the legislature is taking exclusive control of all firearms regulation unless specifically exempted. They did choose the county, the city, and the town as ones to specifically target, in part because they, as the Section 4 points out, their intention was to have the counties and cities and towns destroy the firearm records as part of the policy specifically. But also what they did was they made sure that the counties, cities, and towns, democratically elected officials in each of these, would not try to contradict the expression of clear legislative purpose. And that's why they chose them. We maintain that Section 1 stands on its own with full operative effect, which is to say, when the legislature says, we have exclusive dominion, they mean exclusive dominion.
When the legislature created the library districts.
Actually, Your Honor, that would not be quite correct.
Okay.
There's an enabling statute, which is Chapter 379.
Right.
And the enabling statute the legislature creates the county, the legislature creates the city. And the city of Las Vegas, the county of Clark. With 379, it allowed cities and counties, such as Las Vegas and Clark, to form a library district called a consolidated library district, a larger library district, more tax revenue and such. The library district, once it's created by the county and the city, pursuant to the enabling statute, would then have a board of trustees governing its day-to-day administration, hiring, firing, book collections, and such and such. So it's not technically correct that the legislature created the library district. It created the enabling statute that allowed the city and county, if it chose to, which it did, to create a consolidated library district.
And then create its own rules.
And create its own rules within the scope of 040 and 025 and Chapter 379, correct.
Thank you.
But looking at the language again, the library district, is it a county, is it a city, is it a town?
Well, we would argue that it is a political subunit of a county and a city in this particular case. Again, Chapter 379 allows the city and county, which, by the way, without that enabling statute, they would not have that right, harkening on Dylan's rule a little bit here, but they allow the city and the county to create the library district, to appoint its board of trustees, to approve its budget, to approve its bond issuances, to oversee its affairs in general, to get quarterly reports, to collect the taxes from the county and city to pay for the operation of the library. And our position is, as a political subunit, it cannot have powers that its creator does not have.
But wouldn't it be equally reasonable argument to say that the library district is not a city, county, or town? And doesn't that therefore make it ambiguous?
Oh, if you're our position, then there is no ambiguity. But if we enter into ambiguity, then at that point, yes. I mean, to the extent this is ambiguous, we're trying to determine the intent. The political subunit of a county or city cannot have any more powers than its creators.
But if we credit your position, we don't need three separate statutes that all say the same thing as to specifically county, city, and town. You would have just one statute in 202 that says no public entity other than the state shall enact any laws messing with firearms. I don't understand how we can say, I'm just going to take the first paragraph out of each of these sections and ignore the rest of each of these statutes and the fact that they sponsor specific statutes to do with a county, a city, and a town. That's the problem I have with this. It's a very puzzling articulation of a statewide preemption if that's what they're trying to accomplish.
I'm into my rebuttal time, Your Honor. Should I proceed
and answer the
question? I
would like an answer to that, if I may.
May I answer?
Yes.
Thank you. To answer your question, the problem is if we only read the second part of the statute to, in effect, nullify and negate the first part of the statute, then what we're doing is circumventing the legislature's clear legislative mandate when it says exclusive domain. They incorrectly argued, and the district court accepted the argument that by only referencing the county, city, and town in the amendments, replicating that same statement in each one of those legislative provisions, the legislature is saying, notwithstanding our exclusive domain language, what we really meant was, no, cities, towns, and counties, and if one of their inferior political subunits decides to adopt all sorts of firearm control, we have no problem with that. We would say that would be an absurd reading of the statute to take the second part in the gate in totality.
If you trust what you're saying is true, why didn't they just say that?
I wasn't there. I'm sorry, Your Honor. I wasn't there.
Fair enough.
Counsel, can I ask you one question? I don't want to impinge on your time.
I'm sorry, Your Honor,
I think
yes.
It's bothering me, and I want to get it out. I've listened carefully to your argument. I understand it, the points you're making, but I'm thinking about a situation like the Clark County School District, which is a subdivision or created by Clark through Clark County, you know, like that. Assuming we agreed with you and issued an opinion in this case about the library district, I would think arguably it would apply to the school district as well, and they couldn't implement policies on guns and all that similar to how it would apply to libraries. Am I wrong, or would you say that's a correct analogy?
Well, I would, with respect, I'd say that you're wrong.
Okay.
The reason, and briefly, since I'm using my time at this point, there's really two statutory bodies of law. One of them is concealed carry, which is not the issue here. The other one is open carry, which is the issue here.
Mm-hmm.
In regards to concealed carry legislation, I don't think that's contested that you cannot concealed carry to school without written permission of the principal. Right? In regards to open carry, the same rule applies. The legislature specifically took the position that schools, daycare centers, and I believe universities are exempt. Same thing with prisons, by the way. Like, prisons are allowed to set their own firearms policies. Statutorily, by the way, you would think in the ordinary discharge of prison duties that it would be implied in their powers. But the legislature, demonstrating it knows how to exempt local political subdivisions, said prisons are allowed to regulate possession of firearms on their property, whether they're county jail or state prison, whatever the case may be. So again, no, that wouldn't be the correct analysis if we applied SB 175 as we asked the court to do.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, I know you want to run, but so it's extending that. What about courts?
So the question, and this did come up below, the question is whether or not a court, based on SB 175, because there is no language saying courts can do whatever they want, right? The answer to that question is, first off, we reject the proposition that a library district in any way, shape, or form could be equivalent to a constitutionally created co-equal branch of government. We're talking about a library that was created pursuant to an enabling statute that was created pursuant to legislative grant. Okay, political subunit, 2 points removed from the legislature that first gave them the power to be created. The second part is we would maintain that the court's inherent power to regulate its affairs, administer its offices, and provide for its own safety is pretty much well established. Again, co-equal branch of government, the executive, the judicial, and the legislative, not in any way, shape, or form. applicable to a library district.
But reading paragraph one of these three statutes as broadly as you do, by its terms, it applies to courts equally with everybody else.
Well, and again,
in your reading.
I'm sorry?
In your reading of it, it would.
My reading of it, it would not, Your Honor, again. But
because you're implying an exception that is not stated.
Well, the question is whether or not the courts have inherent powers as a co-equal branch of government to administer its own affairs. And I think the answer to that is yes. Library district, absolutely not.
But I take that point, but there's nothing that exempts courts in paragraph one of these statutes.
I mean, yes, the plain language, sticking to plain language is where I'd like to be. Yes, that is absolutely correct.
Counsel. Mr. Kennedy.
May it please the court, Dennis Kennedy for the respondent, Las Vegas Clark County Library District. Also with me is Kelly Stout from my firm, who has done a great deal of work on this matter, including in the trial court and on the brief in this court. Also present is Danielle Nylon, the Director of Development and Planning for the Las Vegas Clark County Library District. Cutting to the chase to what Justice Pickering and Justice Stiglitz said, that was one of the things I said in the district court. If you give the statute their reading, people can be sitting here with AK-47s in the gallery. And that's just ridiculous. You cannot give the statute that reading because the legislature, A, could never have intended that, and B, probably could not do that, although they might try. The counsel said that the question here is, who has the authority to regulate firearms? I would submit to you that's not really the question. We'll concede, and I think everybody will concede, that the legislature has some authority in that regard and has exercised it or has tried to exercise it. The question is, with respect to this bill, Senate Bill 715, what did the legislature do when they were trying to exercise that power? To start off, with library districts, really briefly, Justice Stiglitz asked the question, aren't they separate and independent bodies? And the answer is yes. The legislature authorizes their creation in Chapter 379, but 379 is quite detailed on how they are created, the powers that they have. There's a long enumerated list of powers given to library districts, and they also have the power to adopt regulations to ensure the smooth and orderly functioning of the library. So to start off with, this was not that important, but that disposes of the Dillon rule argument, because Dillon rule says, where does your authority come from? Well, in this case, the legislature gave them the authority, and there is authority to adopt rules and regulations to provide for orderly administration of the library, safety, openness, et cetera, et cetera. So that's where their authority comes from. The policy is in the joint appendix at page 103, and it's known as the dangerous items policy, and there's nothing really shocking or surprising about it. It just says you can't bring dangerous items into the library, and that includes firearms, ammunition, things like that. And so what we have is we have a visitor to the library with her three children who gets into a dispute with the people at the library, and they asked her, when you come back, she was there for an hour, and she had a .38 strapped to her hip with her three kids, age 1, 3, and 5. And when she left, the library said to her, you know, we have a policy against firearms in the library. Please, when you return, don't bring your gun. Leave it in your car. Do whatever you want, but don't bring your gun. And then the dispute arose, the facts and its resolution are not really important here, except to say that the plaintiff, Ms. Flores, brought this action saying the existence and enforcement of that policy has injured me and it violates Senate Bill 715. Now, if you look at Senate Bill 715, I mean, the court does not misapprehend what the issue is here, based on the questions from the bench. There are three separate provisions one applying to the county, one to the city, and one to towns. And those are all structured in the same way. They start out with a legislative declaration of rights and of policy, and then they go on to specific prohibitions saying no county may infringe, no city may infringe, no town may infringe. But it doesn't stop there. It then goes on to tell cities, counties, and towns specific things that apply only to them. Section 4 says any action by a county or by a city or by a town that violates this bill is void. And then it instructs...
Well, no, it doesn't exactly say that. I mean, that's the puzzle, because Section 1B says the regulation of firearms is within the exclusive domain of the legislature, and any other law, regulation, rule, or ordinance to the contrary is null and void. That sentence in 1B in each of these three statutes is not... doesn't limit it to county or state. I mean, I think that's where they're taking their argument from. It's a declaration that it's null and void, so they're trying to interpret that as complete preemption of anything by anybody.
Yeah,
I'm troubled by the rest of the statute in each of those.
Then I come back to the question you asked. If that's it, why isn't there a period?
Why isn't it in 202?
Yeah, and why doesn't it go into 202? But it doesn't do that.
Yeah.
Each of these goes into the particular statute that regulates the affairs of those entities. Section 8 goes into Chapter 244, 9 into 268, and 10 into 269. And there are specific prohibitions, specific instructions to, and I know what the introductory sentence says. Then it says the Board of County Commissioners, the Town Board, or the City Commission shall repeal all ordinances, rules, regulations that violate this prohibition or this declaration of exclusive policy. And so that comes back to the question, Justice Pickering, that you asked, which is, if you are going to prohibit all of these inconsistent rules, regulations, et cetera, why don't you just say that in one or two sentences? Instead, this goes on to specifically address cities, counties, and towns. It's impossible, in light of the entirety of the provisions of the bill, to say this was designed to be an omnibus prohibition, because it's clearly not. There's an omnibus statement of legislative intent, and then it goes on specifically to address cities, counties, and towns. Now, library districts are not cities, counties, and towns any more than any other governmental entity in the state of Nevada, and there are a lot of them. You have housing authorities, water districts, electric co-ops, on and on and on and on. And so what we've got here is the interpretation that's being argued is that the legislature, at best, tried to do something, which is the result is extremely ambiguous. And the argument is what this court should do is it should do what the legislature has not done. The court should somehow ascertain what the legislature was trying to do, which was to enact an omnibus prohibition, and then say, okay, despite all of the other language in this bill, we are going to just take part of it and say that there's an omnibus prohibition. And that, as you correctly point out, Justices Pickering and Stiglitz, would apply to this court. If that's what the statute says, it applies everywhere, basically without an exception, unless there happens to be some exception written somewhere in the NRS. That clearly...
Mr. Kennedy, I was just thinking about that point, whether it applies to everything. I know we have a policy in this building, no firearms, no exceptions, and it includes the library downstairs here on the first floor, but it's a state library. It's not a... I wouldn't think it's specifically referenced, but is there a crossover as to that facility? What's your position on that?
Well, yeah, my position is if you accept the argument that's being made by the plaintiff and the appellant, then there can be no rule governing possession of firearms in the library downstairs. For purposes of this statute, it would be no different than all, any other library in the state. And that's why we get back to really reading the statute and seeing what it says and does. It clearly does certain things with respect to cities, towns, and counties. It says you won't do anything to interfere with the state regulation of this subject matter. And that's probably within the legislature's power. There may be some exceptions somewhere. The statute has a few. But that's what they were doing. And the plaintiff is now saying to this court, well, there's a reservation of legislative authority, and there's a declaration of purpose contained in each of these three sections. We want you to read that to apply universally. And, of course, that is not what that is not what the court or what the legislature did here. I mean, they could have done it if they wanted to do it. There may have been some problems with it, but they could have at least attempted to do it, but they didn't. And here's something I think is extremely important in analyzing this and in looking at a couple of the cases that were cited by the appellant. There's the Michigan case, Michigan Open Carry. And in that case, what you have is you have the Court of Appeals of Michigan saying that there is a preemption, and so that individual governmental entities who may not be named in the statute are covered by the omnibus prohibition because there's a preemption of the field. Now, that case was reversed almost totally later in the Ann Arbor Schools case out of the Supreme Court of Michigan earlier this year. But the analysis from that those two cases is important here because what you have in Michigan and in this, a couple of the other states that are involved in the cases that are cited by the plaintiff, you have the enactment of an omnibus prohibition. The legislature says in the Michigan open carry case, it said, it applied to all local units of government, which is omnibus. And then what happened in that case was the Michigan Court of Appeals had to decide whether a library district was a local unit of government. And it ultimately decided, yeah, it was, okay? But the analysis in that case is asking the court to take an omnibus statute and to see who's covered by it, if there are individual governmental units that are somehow covered in the omnibus statute. That's not what's happening here. Here we have a statute that is quite particular. Cities, counties, towns. And what the plaintiff is asking here is the opposite of what happened in the Michigan case that they rely on. They're saying, take those specific governmental entities and expand it and create an omnibus prohibition. And that case, the Michigan open carry case, which ends up holding that library districts are subject to the omnibus prohibition, is of no help here. In fact, it stands for the exact opposite analytical proposition. We don't have here a simple omnibus prohibition, and we're trying to decide who's covered by it.
So, Mr. Kennedy, can I ask you a question? In each of the sections, 8 dealing with counties, 9 dealing with cities, and 10 dealing with towns, there is included a paragraph 8F. And in 8F of each of those sections, it reads, a political subdivision from sponsoring or conducting a firearm-related competition or educational cultural program and enacting and enforcing rules for participation or attendance in any competition or program.
Does that subsection imply or offer assistance in interpreting the intention of the legislature? It appears the use of the word political subdivision, unlike, let's take county, they didn't use county, they used political subdivision. That seems to operate as a constraint on a political subdivision within the county. What do you make of this subsection? Of course, it's odd because then G then follows, which says a political subdivision, nothing in this section is intended to restrain or should be construed to prevent a political subdivision or any official thereof with appropriate authority from enforcing any statute of this state. So, I mean,
Your Honor, I have no idea what those two sections mean. I have both of them highlighted here.
I mean, on the one hand, it seems to constrain a political subdivision of the county, I assume it's what it's referring to, or doesn't prevent it from conducting firearm-related competitions or educational activities. But then in G, it says the political subdivision can enforce any authority in the state. I don't know. Does the Lord giveth and taketh away in this? I'm not sure.
Yes, that's exactly right. And I read G, and I said, you know, if I had to make the argument, library districts have the authority to adopt and enforce rules by statute. I could say, well, G gives me the right to adopt and enforce those rules because G says you can't take that power away from me. Mm-hmm. If that's the case, then this really doesn't make any sense. But, I mean, it could be.
Well, it does seem like if it's interpreted in that manner, then these statutes' application would be limited to the Board of County Commissioners, the City of Las Vegas Council, and the Reno City Council, and not any of their subdivisions or subparts.
That is correct. If you read that literally, that is exactly what it says. And, of course, that's completely contrary to the introductory language in each of these sections, 8, 9, and 10.
I know this is a little bit afield, but what do you do, for example, with the Washoe County Airport Authority?
Well,
that body, from my memory of the legislation, isn't part of the county, isn't part of the city, and certainly isn't part of any town. It's a completely separate statutorily created entity.
It's a special district, and it's much like the library districts, which are special districts. I know, put aside for the second, the federal laws, which may govern the airport authority. If you accept the plaintiff's reading, we can all pack heat in the airport with impunity, which is just nonsense.
But even in that context, as I understand it, the structure of the two major airport authorities is different. Washoe County Airport Authority has its own separate, as I recall, statutory empowerment, and yet the Clark County Airport Authority, or McCarran, is made up from the Clark County Board of County Commissioners.
Correct.
So, to
just to summarize, this is 715 is not a model of clarity by any sense. The interpretation that is urged, which is there are no restrictions at all unless the legislature grants them, simply cannot be.
We are given one direction from the legislature about how to interpret this. We're supposed to do so liberally. Not sure what that means.
Well, go back to subsections F and G. You've got to put a liberal interpretation on those. I don't think that helps you at all. If there are no more questions, I'm done.
I just want to confirm, and I'm going to ask your colleague the same thing. No constitutional argument was presented and preserved here, correct? So it's pure statutory interpretation?
Pure statute, because that's, I've raised that issue saying in the district court, what about the courts?
And where's the AG?
Yeah, and where's the AG? And there's a lot of issues here.
Okay.
None of which were addressed. Okay, thank you very much.
Counsel, since you're coming up, I just have one question. You know, it's a follow-up from what Justice Hardesty and Mr. Kennedy discussed. Can Clark County Airport Authority ban open carries in the airport because it's part of Clark County? What's your position on that?
And unfortunately, I'm not in a position to answer that with any authority whatsoever. I do know under concealed carry statutes, they're specifically carved out. I do not know about open carry. And I don't know what their charter says, and I don't know what federal law is.
Okay, thank you.
So there's no constitutional issue here. This is purely statutory, correct?
That's correct. We're saying that the legislature, as it's stated in its operative section 1, that they are pursuant to the Constitution regulating firearms exclusively. So
right.
The issue is not the Constitution.
Yeah, so we're not presented with a constitutional challenge. It's not part of this case. It may be part of some other case.
At some point, but this is a straightforward statutory plain meaning argument primarily.
Thank you.
Briefly, I want to address a few things from opposing counsel. One is the Michigan, the Capital Area District Library case has not been overruled. Footnote 5, when you go back to the research and chambers, look at footnote 5. They specifically say we are not touching that case because it dealt with something that was created by subsidiary entities. That's footnote 5.
How do you reconcile that with Michigan Gun Owners versus Ann Arbor Public Schools?
Different issue, different type of the case that they're referring to did not address the preemption issues that were very neatly outlined in Capital Area District Libraries. And as I stated, in footnote 5, they specifically say we're not touching that opinion. It's still full force and effect for libraries in the state of Michigan. I mean, local libraries in the state of Michigan as opposed to state-created libraries.
Well, except for that they overrule Llewellyn and the other opinion, the Intermediate Court of Appeals opinion, clearly relied on Llewellyn. So I don't know how you can say the 2018 Supreme Court opinion doesn't impact the 2012 Court of Appeals opinion.
Well, the only way I can say that is because when they did Lexis, they said it's still good law. When I looked at footnote 5, the Supreme Court specifically said we're not. Yeah.
I saw footnote 5, but I'm not sure that wasn't just a we're not tackling this at this time kind of thing, but I think it really undercuts the...
Well, I mean, again, I'm not arguing Michigan law, but to
I
agree. I mean, that was a very long decision with all these concurrences and dissent and whatnot. But the gist of it is Llewellyn apparently was modified, right? But Capital Area District Library was not. But I'm running out of time. I lost.
Please go ahead.
I'm sorry. what I just wanted to point out is, again, our position is Section 1 is not introductory language. It is statutory language. It has operative effect. And the state and the legislature, anticipating somebody might argue otherwise, I mean, let's face it, firearms, hot topic. The legislature is really brave taking on all firearms regulation in the state of Nevada. They specifically included Provision C, liberally construed to effectuate its purpose. What is its purpose? To give the legislature exclusive domain and everything else null and void. We would submit to you that if you're not going to stick with plain meaning, we get there through preemption. We also get there through Dillon's rule. And how do we know that? On JA-229, that's just one part of the minutes of the meeting of the Assembly Committee when they passed the bill, co-sponsor Brower, and if I can read it into the record, he says, look, sections 8 through 10 expand and clarify the legislature's right to regulate firearms. And the section also stipulates that any ordinance or regulation, I would submit such as the one here, made by political subdivisions of the state, that are inconsistent with the legislature's rights are null and void and must be replaced. Now again, we maintain there's nothing ambiguous about the statute. The clear operative effect of Section 1 is the legislature and only the legislature.
If there's nothing ambiguous as to the statute, then we shouldn't be concerned with what the committee did.
I'm sorry?
If the statute is unambiguous, why are we concerned with what a legislature said or didn't say? We go back and look at the plain text.
I would maintain, yes. There's no reason for me to have to tell you what the legislature said because they do that in their statutes.
Why are you telling me that if you're saying it's not ambiguous?
Because
and we're stuck with what was written and the dialogue we're into in terms of the different reading of it. How do you respond?
Again, our position is the district court erred when it accepted the argument the statute was in somehow vague or ambiguous and that it did not restrict the library's ability to regulate firearms. I'm running out of time. I'll close by saying this, again, hot topic, no question about it. The legislature is probably going to deal with this every electoral cycle, but they have decided, we'll take it. We have the plenary power to legislate under the Nevada Constitution. We submit that the district court order should be reversed, that the court, this court should declare that the library district does not have the right to implement its dangerous items policy in regards to firearms, and that a permanent injunction be entered.
I don't think, as the questions are coming in myself particularly, that any of us disagree with the authority of the legislature. What we're concerned with is the statute as it is so written and what's been put forth today. And aside from your argument about the authority, as to the statute, is it clear on its face? Or does it create a problem the way it's so structured?
Section 1 is clear and unambiguous on its face.
What about the other sections?
That's the problem. And again, the district court below, we believe, erred by taking Section 2 and reading it to, in effect, have narrowed the scope of the otherwise exclusive domain language in Section 1, which was impermissible and also leads to the absurd result, by the way, that a county can't regulate firearms, but a political creation of the county can. An unelected, unaccountable body of trustees can do what an elected, accountable body of county commissioners cannot. We submit that would be an absurd result. In statutory plain meaning, exclusive domain means exclusive domain.
Well, then why put in Section 2 and narrow the exclusive domain? That is kind of absurd, if you're going to make that argument.
Again, we would argue it doesn't make it vague, but again, that's why I read that brief section in there from Senator Brower, which is at the end of the day, to the extent that there was going to be an issue with Clark County, Las Vegas, or anybody else not recognizing the legislature's plenary power to regulate firearms, they created this large statutory scheme to make sure the county, because they were more worried, apparently, I think it's reasonable to infer from the language, that the county, city, and townships would potentially not obey. And remember, we don't talk about it here because it's irrelevant, but they specifically say you have to destroy all your firearms records, and you got 1 year to do it. Okay, that specific language, a general statute wouldn't have accomplished that. They had to say you got it, no, and you too. It does not negate or nullify Section 1, which has its own operative effect.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Illumination on this issue, that as counsel has pointed out, it is an important issue. With that, this matter will stand submitted.